Yeah.
That's such a good vein. Do that again. Raise that hand. Look at that. Look at that.
Medical students need to relax.
I missed Talifa.
I didn't even look at it. He looked at me. I was like, that's right for cannulation.
No, I want to see it now.
Whoa, you are moving, man. Cannulation.
You
should put down OnlyFans. You should put the vein on OnlyFans.
That's a shout, bro.
Yeah. Come on, guys. Let's
yeah, calm.
Alvin, when
I
involved,
though. No, not in OnlyFans.
When I came on here, you see, you're going to be like,
Ron, you know, I'll be involved in publicising it. I'll publicise it. So
yo, people's feet have become like Bitcoin, bro.
But like, you know what? You know when the Bible says, for the love of Christ constrains us, yeah? Imagine, though, there are people making 10,000 in a week. Is it a week or is it like some days?
Listen, if I didn't know, lad, you'd see bad news of me, bro. I swear.
The love of Christ. That's what the law of God, you know.
Hello from The Edit, it's Future Alvin.
Yeah, so it's Cameron here.
Hi guys, Justin here.
Hey, it's your girl T here on After Sundown Podcast.
And you're locked into the After Sundown Podcast.
Welcome to the After Sundown Podcast.
Welcome to the After Sundown Podcast.
Sit back and enjoy.
Enjoy.
It's about to be a mazzoline still.
You turn it down?
No, it was padding was on.
Go on. Oh, okay. So
can you hear me now?
And yeah. I could, yeah. So
that's what I'm saying.
Here.
You told probably to click it, or you told probably here.
I haven't touched it with my. It was. Oh, can you start your intro again? If that's right.
Was that? Yeah, I'll start again because is it nice though?
I don't remember to keep this up in my face.
It's nice now. Yeah.
Okay, so guys, welcome back. Oh, start with the intro. Of VG's Jermaine again then.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, let's clap. Okay. Cool. So, guys, back again.
In the studio.
Back
again.
On the Sabbath. Amen. Blessed Sabbath day of rest and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But so obviously we're doing chapter 4, Steps to Christ, Confessions. Mm-hmm. Got a special
guest. We haven't paid for the studio, by the way.
Well, I told Sabbath. You we're not paying for the studio anyway, but
I don't
know. It's free. It's too expensive. But yeah,
it's not true.
So obviously we've got a special guest. Would you like to introduce yourself?
yeah. Young Jobs in the building. Whoa, young foot and sexy voice, you know.
Nah, it's just Jermaine, man. Hello to everyone, man. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Thank you for having me, guys.
Nice to have you, man. Nice to have you. So obviously, as I was saying, we're going to obviously tackle chapter 4, Confessions, which is obviously a big thing. So, also, guys, like, if you would like to follow along in Steps to Christ from Ellen G. White, just follow along chapter 4. That's what we're tackling in this week. Who read the chapter?
I read the chapter. To be fair, I wrote told him yesterday, and then I messaged him. I didn't tell him about the topic, and
I've got a book. Did you get your book on yet?
No, I don't have.
To be fair, it's one of the shorter chapters.
It's a short and decent one actually. I liked it. What I was reading just then.
It was good still.
It's like remember at school in Sabbath school, and you ask, so who's done today's lesson? Silence.
I was actually good in Sabbath school.
Wait, what?
But the mad thing is, some people used to read the lessons but just stay silent because no one wanted to be wrong.
Yeah. No one wants to seem like that nerd. Bible scholar.
The Bible scholar.
That's always fascinated me. What, like, even at school when people are
you put your hand up, didn't you?
Like, why don't you want to be seen as a reader?
You can't be right all the time, you know. You got to be wrong sometimes.
It's not about being wrong.
I didn't want to be seen as a nerd. I still don't want to be seen as a nerd.
Yeah, but what? Like, why do we dislike being nerd?
I'm a big man, you know, Alvin.
Yeah, big men are nerds. Nerds are the biggest men that exist. Like, Elon Musk is a nerd and enough.
Fam, Elon Musk is raking it. See, we're going on topic again, but Elon Musk is raking it in. He's actually raking it in, fam. His potential, his money potential has actually gone up because, like, he's got some,
billionaire.
Literally, he's like sent off some, satellites up to thingy as well. That's literally money potential right there. His money rate's gone up now. Have you heard about
Neuralink? Essentially, he's getting paid by the government. NASA pays, NASA no longer has their own, the shuttle.
Yeah, NASA don't have to go to Russia to send off ships no more. So literally, they can do it from.
Yeah, so it's mad how we was talking about confession. Now we're talking about outer space. We're not even talking about this world.
Literally.
Goodbye, world.
So yeah. So what is it now? Yeah. So what did everyone think about the chapter?
Now I liked it. You know,
what's one thing that came to you?
I liked it, but I didn't because I don't really like confessing my sins.
You don't like confessing your sins?
No.
Oh, I'm a confessor.
Like, yeah. It's kind of like, I don't know, just confessing anything. Like, I remember, I don't know, like, when I was young or whatever, like, doing stuff wrong, I would never really like to be honest. I'd always kind of, like, twist the truth in it. Yeah, you know what I mean? Because you don't really want to bear the brunt of the beating, you know what I'm saying?
Mm. Okay, so I've got a good question, yeah? So, obviously, like, saying that, it's like, in contrast of, like, your youth and of the person who you are now, like, which one would you say is more likely to confess confess anything now?
Between
like your youth, like younger days.
Oh, younger me for me.
Or like your older self.
Younger me would confess everything. Nowadays, I keep quiet.
I hear that still.
I feel like you've got more to confess as you get older, you know. But it's kind of like, I don't know, because people do stuff with the information that you tell them in it as well. That's true. So I've kind of been a bit more aware of like who I say stuff to and like, you know, what I say in it. Because people just, you know what it is? People, you'll say something to someone and then they'll use it against you in an argument or something.
100%. Have you ever had that, bro? Like, yo, I remember when you pissed the bed or something. Oh! Like, that hasn't happened to me.
Why did
he
point at me? Why did he point at me?
Like, they just spit it back in your face.
Yeah.
It's true,
man. Oh, but wait. Yo, man, evil, you know.
Confessions. That's not a sin.
No, confess anything. You know what I mean? Confess anything.
Okay.
You're not really talking about sins just yet, but like just confessing stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
I get that. What about you, Evan? What about you, like older or younger?
In terms of confessing?
Or just like, I'm saying the full board. I'm thinking the full board.
It's gone like this. So like, but now, like a whole roller coaster. I confess. Like, all. Thing is though, like children below the age of, I believe it's 3 years old.
Yeah.
I don't think have the ability to lie as far as I'm aware. Like I think they don't lie. They can't lie. The ability to lie is learnt at the age of, I think it's the age of 4. Yeah. But I'll have to check. So like a young kid, if you ask them why did you do this, they say like a 3-year-old will always say.
I must have been
say,
different then. I was lying.
At 3. Not
yeah,
at 3.
Bro.
No,
I don't remember three, but
I disagree, you know. I think young kids, they won't speak if they've done something wrong.
I'll look for the research, but I think it's at the age of 4 is when you start learning how to lie.
That's not for all kids. That's probably for like most, a sample. I definitely agree. Obviously lying is a learnt behaviour, innit? But I think, you know, yeah, like it's what Jermaine said, innit, though, more time, because I've seen it like especially kids like that have been like around me, they lie, bro. Like, liars.
I'm about that innocent to proven guilty thing, man.
True.
Why say something if you don't need to?
But what I do, like, I there's a point where like I think I've always been honest with myself. I think.
Oh, but by the way, I'm not about that now, but yeah, it was about that before.
But there are times when I haven't been honest with, like, just honest with people or honest about what I think, how I think, why I think, how I think.
Oh, you're saying.
What I do, what goes through, like, there are times when I haven't been, when I wasn't honest.
Yeah.
I think I've become way more honest now. And I've tried to be because I'll leave it at that.
Nah, I'm just going to read on parts though, because Sophie actually hit out to me. I was like, raw, this is so true. Oh, actually, I did. One sec.
I'm chewing gum.
And in a minute. Sorry, Evan. It might hear you, but get them sexy chomps in.
Yeah. I can't stand this guy sometimes.
Get those girls ready for what they're gonna hear in the future.
Whoa.
So, I mean, you ain't editing this. Wait, okay. Is it this one? The Lord does not require us to do grievous things in order. Oh yes it is. Is it? Yes, it is actually. I want to read this properly though. The conditions of obtaining mercy of God are simple and just and reasonable. The Lord does not require us to do some grievous thing in order that we may have the forgiveness of sin.
You've said none of that as it was mostly very low pickup because you're not.
Oh, because I'm like, yeah. So read it all again. I was reading, sorry, good though.
I didn't want to interrupt.
Now, the condition of obtaining mercy. Of obtaining the mercy of God are simple and just and reasonable. The Lord does not require us to do some grievous thing in order that we may have the forgiveness of sin. We need not make long and wearisome pilgrimage. Or perform painful
penances.
To condemn our souls to God and to the God of heaven.
Is it penance or penitence?
I think it's penitent.
One of them.
I haven't got it up yet.
To condemn our soul to the God of heaven, or to expedient our transgression, but he that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy.
Okay. So what, like, I think, like, I read that bit as well, like, that was one of the first things that kind of, like, hit me in it, and, like...
That is the first thing that hit me.
In terms of... in terms of, like, I feel, like, when we do something, it's almost like we feel like we have to make up for it, and it kind of takes me back to, you know, some of the movies, and, like, you see, like, people, like, punishing themselves, like, for, you know, like, doing... stuff wrong, like, and it's always kind of like they might, like, burn themselves or, like, I know, like, cutting themselves or stuff like that. Like, people really feel like I need to go through this in order to be worthy, in order to not even in terms of God, but, like, in terms of anything, like, I need to do this to deserve this. And God's not asking us to do that.
It's like you're almost trying to, like, treat yourself to, like, to deserve something greater than, like, what you've actually been through or dragging yourself through. I hear that still.
That's a good point, man. Even in just a general life example, do you mean, like, when people say I don't deserve this, and they treat them, like, sometimes I've seen people treat themselves how they think, treat themselves as they esteem themselves. And sometimes I've seen people, like, as you say, like, punish themselves to think, oh, only when I've punished myself for X, Y, and Z, or punish themselves not even looking for recompense. But the crazy thing is, like,
come again, definition, please.
Recompense, definition,
please.
I don't know definitions of words. Recompense is like...
He uses them.
I know what it means, but I can't. See, I'm not good
at. You can't define it.
Listeners, get a dictionary.
Don't use words that you don't know the definition to.
So, make amends for loss or harm suffered, or, like, to compensate.
To compensate.
So, like. But, like.
Get a vocabulary.
The crazy thing is when God says, I don't. That's not even what I'm asking for. Mm-hmm. I'm not asking you to do anything grievous or bad for you to be forgiven. Or here's a question though. So if God is saying I'm not asking you to do anything ridiculous. What was the word that was used? Because I haven't got to that section yet.
Wait, listen to the thing. Pause.
Okay. So my question is this. My question is this. If God doesn't get us to do anything, like, strenuous or anything crazy for forgiveness, all he wants us to do is to come to him and confess our sins and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he ask the children of Israel to, before the death of Christ, to, like, sacrifice a lamb and
do all that. That,
yeah,
because the lamb that, but that's not grievous though, that was and that wasn't harming themselves, if that makes sense, isn't it? So, like, if God asked them, like, God would never, if you ever hear a voice telling you to cut yourself, don't do that, innit, because it's not the voice of God. basically,
you know, God. What, though? Yeah, I can God. Argue that though, because think about Abraham and Isaac. Even though that was a test,
mm-hmm.
God still told him, "What, kill your son."
He did, but it wasn't. Yeah, nah, he did. Nah, he rod did. Nah, he rod did. He rod did. He rod did.
Why would God do that then?
No, I feel like that's different.
God was like, that was, yeah, that was a different
that's
situation.
Like, that's more of like a personal one where like Abraham was like being tested personally. So like the fact, are you good?
No, I'm laughing
at myself. You want some water? Now, so the fact that like obviously everyone, well, I don't think everyone knows Abraham's story, but for those that don't know, Abraham had a son with a side chick, and then basically like
love it.
He basically now his wife actually had a son now. And it's like, rah, okay, so God's now going to be like, because you've done, well, maybe I'm thinking, subjective, God is now saying that, like, okay, because of this, I want to test you and see, like, if you're really truthful and faithful, like, to actually know that, like, I'm going to still give you your son, your actual son. So I'm going to put you through a test and, like, make you actually, let me realize something.
But that had nothing to, it, that story also had nothing to do with him forgiving.
Oh, of course.
Or God forgiving Abraham for this for
no, but I think a sin or whatever. I feel like these are talking
so
about
glad
the
you
more.
That out,
these are more
I
talking about.
Even,
these
I
are.
Even
no, 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 but that was a. That
no,
was
but
a,
these are talking about like the grievous or
the grievous.
Oh, the grievous, the grievous stuff, side the to it.
Yeah.
I think in that side you could see that as grievous. No, you could just see it. You could see it as grievous. I can't argue with that. I can't lie. I don't. We don't have the answers. We don't have the answers.
I think the reason I asked the question is.
I'm talking about to Jermaine's
even,
thing, you
even
know?
On Jermaine's thing, because it's so bizarre that you brought that point up, because I wasn't even thinking there, but it ties in with what I was thinking. So, I asked, so like, what's interesting is that Hebrews tells us that Hebrews tells us, not just Hebrews, but several passages in the Bible tell us that even Abraham, it wasn't the sacrificing of the animals or the lamb or the that saved him from his sins. It was the same Jesus who died on the cross. So, and the same is true of Adam, Eve, Abel. They weren't saved by the sacrificing of the animal. What they were saved by is the death of Christ. Christ did that what Christ was doing the requirement for them to do that was a symbol of what was to come, of Christ to come later on, so that all of them would be saved by when Christ comes. John calls him, when John announces him, he calls him the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the earth. So all it is God is showing them a symbol of there's a lamb coming. This is what's going to happen to this lamb, to the lamb, to my lamb. The lamb is going to be slain for you. And he gets them to, it's like a, what would you call it? An object lesson. Another Ellen White book called Christ Object Lessons. Like, it's an object lesson for all of them up to that point, saying, this is what it's going to take. This is why, like, when we confess our sins, the confession of our sins, the fact that we've sinned brings about the fact that Christ needed to die in order to cleanse us from our sins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Even Abraham's story, which is why I was so interested, like, which blew my mind when you brought that up. Abraham's story is it's found in Genesis 22. In fact, I'm not even going to comment much on it. If the listeners, it's worth, see if we can find, it's worth looking for what are the parallels between Isaac and Christ, and what are the parallels with the redemption story, so to speak, to tie last week's episode with this one? Like, what does Genesis 22 have to do with, and that story of Isaac and the ram that gets caught in the thickets, and the fact that they travel for 3 days, and the fact that Isaac is the one who's carrying the wood on his shoulders?
And you break it down like that, it's mad.
But they always say, you know, like, when you
is he that the angel calls him your only son. But anyway, I'll leave it.
No, it's important when you study in the Bible, and like when you're looking at stories, it's important to look at Jesus as if he's in every single story. So even with
absolutely.
But so I wanted to look at in terms of like confession, but confession to one another. So it's not talking about God, but we're talking about confession to one another. Like, we kind of commented on it a little bit, but like, how do we feel about like confessing? We're talking about to people that we trust. Yeah,
the people that we trust, or the people that we've wronged.
People that we trust, or people that we've wronged. Maybe
I was gonna say the passage in particular is talking about people we've wronged, like we've wronged. In terms of people,
well, we can discuss like confession to other people in general.
Like confession to like people, like trusted people that will give you advice on what to do.
Yeah, like we can talk about that. Like just confession to. I know what the verse is talking about. But we can just talk about. You know.
I don't know. I've done like both. So like I've gone to, for example, a pastor, spoken to him about like what I've done, and I'm like, obviously it's a good feeling when you speak to someone about it. Someone of like some of like well esteem and like well of like wisdom, someone of wisdom, and someone you can actually go to on a level, especially when it's the person, especially when the person's like kind of older.
Yeah, is that raise it from here if you want to make it easier for you.
Oh, cool. Now, especially when let me not speak.
Sorry, man.
Are we good now? Yeah, okay. Now, I'm good. But especially when like the person is like an older person and kind of like wise, it's like when you can go to a person like who's older than you as well, and like you can speak to them on a level. It's like it's kind of easier, because then it's like mad. I now have advice from an older person rather than having advice from like, sorry, man, then, but like you, man.
Yeah.
And then it's like obviously, you know what it is. I don't think.
Because we've got like international.
On a personal level, where it's like you know that they're not gonna like give you bad advice or so tell you nonsense. Like as in your friends will tell you like, nah, you're in the right still. They'll be very biased. Whereas an older person now will tell you like as in what you've done wrong or where you've done wrong and how you can correct it. And if you haven't gone wrong, they'll tell you that you haven't gone wrong. But like, if you have, they'll tell you as well. So like, well, I reckon with friends, like it's more like they're very like biased on. They'll be on your side basically. So like, when you do have someone like that, then it's like it's calm. But also telling the person now, or telling that person who you've wronged themselves, it's hard. I'm not gonna say it's easy, and it's one of those things that it's just like it's not like it's like. Depending on how you are, like as in, because as in energy, what it does say as well, that like people do ask for confession, but they don't really care in a way. I'll read that verse after, but like people don't really care, but like if you actually do care, you're very like, what's the word I'm looking for?
Sincere.
Yeah, there we go. Sincere about it. It's like, yeah, it's a different vibe. Yeah, it's raining, but like it's a whole different vibe. So yeah, that's just something.
I was thinking. I kind of think I hear what you're saying. Oof, I've always gone to.
Like Alvin, then.
I've always gone to people. Now I've always gone to people that are older than me, but that are not like too old, if that makes sense, isn't it? So yeah. I've never really gone to people that are like 50, 40, 50, 60 for advice. I've always gone to people that are maybe like. 8 years older than man, you know what I'm saying, like for advice, because I feel like with that they kind of it's there's still that reach down in it of like you're young to them, but like you know there's still that understanding of they know kind of a bit better of what you're kind of going through. So yeah, that's who I've always kind of, you know, like sought advice from. I think I confess, you know, honestly, I don't really even confess to those people. I feel like I confess to you, man.
Yeah.
A bit more than other people in it. Because I just think, yeah, bruv. Yeah.
The thing is, I feel like it's also dependent on the confession as well.
Yeah, 100%.
When we were saying this confession, we more sharing.
Sharing confession, because like, I feel like, obviously, us men have talks as in like conquests and that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like, but like, you know what it is? When you don't want to do that no more, like as in when you're first, like obviously I've spoken about like stuff that I've been through to you, man. Mm. But like, you wasn't the first people that I spoke to about it.
I spoke to
someone who I actually, because obviously I wanted to change. Like, say if I didn't want to change, I'll be more boastful about it as in like, had lovers, yeah, man, had this thing, like it was nothing. Now that we're on it, now that she's like, now it's a thing where like I've stopped it. Yeah. It's like I've gone to someone else first about it. So like I've gone to someone older who's like gonna give me that pure advice as in like how to actually stop it, if that makes sense. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So yeah, so I reckon it definitely depends on like the confession that you're making.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me, it's a bit different, you know. For me, I kind of, well, I go to you, man. Obviously, I go to everyone, but I'd go to like, man's rage. I'd go to the old people as well. Mm. I like to get advice from people that are older, maybe even younger, Christian, not Christian. I like to get like a whole kind of
wholesome fire. Different
kind of opinions,
different angles.
Then that's kind of where I make my decision. But when it comes to confessing to someone that you've properly wronged, then you know you haven't done, and you know they haven't done anything bad to you.
See, this is where I wanted to shade, man. You know, like I can't lie, bro.
No. I hear that because I remember one time there was a time where I had wronged bare people in it, and it was my friends in it, and they actually like came to man, and I had like a sit down with man. Like that's had to fully sit down with me and be like, "Yo, this is like you're messing up, still, like relax." You know what I'm saying? Because I was just too like I'm semi rude now, but like yeah,
I was worse before. Out of control, unruly.
But yeah, man, like I feel like you need those people around you as well to kind of keeps you honest, to raid my name,
literally.
It keeps you from not getting up your own too much as well.
Mm. What? Say that again in a different way.
Up your own. I can only say.
Let's not take the podcast, mate.
Here it is.
No, that can't stay there.
Up your own.
Buttocks. Gluteus maximus.
Anus is a good word. Anus is a good word.
I got a question though. How do you feel after?
Why do we have to say it like that? It stops you from getting.
Let me repeat it again. It stops you from getting up yourself.
Thank you.
You knew the audience is just going to stay in.
So yeah, did you feel better after
confessing? 100 times better. I've spoken about it before. Oh, go on, Alvin. I don't want to talk.
I felt like let me be
that Alvin this episode.
Let's see if you can live up to it.
I don't think I can. I don't have such vocabulary, but it is what it is.
I thought you were gonna say something else.
I was trying to. I didn't want to say the wrong word. I didn't know what to
say. Oh, stop! but
in honesty, you feel 10 times better. Like as in, confessing to a person is one thing, but when you actually confess to the person itself who you've wronged, it's a different feeling because you just feel like, raw, man came to you. In all honesty, like however you feel, that's how you feel now. So, but like I've come to you on a level.
Yeah, it does. Mm. It does mention,
especially
that as well.
No, especially when you're sincere. Though it's not like when you're just like doing it for like just saying it for saying it for purpose. You're saying it for like sincerity in it. Mm. So it's just like you feel definitely 10 times better.
And it's necessary.
So here it talks about. Like the wronging of people, but it talks about freely doing that, and then it also goes then you are to seek forgiveness of God because your brother you have wounded and is the property of God. So basically,
read that.
Gotcha.
I was gonna read it from the top because I think it will give. Like
more
the
context.
So I'll just
go on.
Read it and then you can make a comment.
Yeah, go on.
So it says, the apostle says, this is what the apostle says, confess your fault.
What's going on, man? Read the bottom.
Page 37, paragraph 3.
Bro, I got that. It's a website.
Is it slightly different edition? The apostle says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. So that's you'll find that in James 5 verse 16. And then it says, confess your sins to God, who only can forgive them. So God is the only one who can confess our sins. So our sins we ought to confess to God.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, and your faults to one another.
Mm.
So like there's a distinction drawn between the two. So I'm not to confess my sins to... And when I say sins... sometimes our faults can also be our sins. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's not saying like, so if I have an issue, a fault that is also a sin, I'm gonna have to, I must confess my fault to you in that I've wronged you.
Yeah.
So, sorry, I'm commenting. Let me just read what I said I was going to read. And your faults to one another. If you have given offense to your friend or neighbor, or are, if you've given offense to your friend or your neighbor, you are to acknowledge your wrong. So that's to say, if an offense is an interesting word, because if someone can pull up the meaning of the word offense, but it basically means if you have done something wrong, it means if you've broken law. I'll see if I can get a definition, if someone could just Google a definition of offense.
Hey Siri, what does offense mean? Breach of a law or rule.
It means what?
A breach of a law or rule.
Nice. So offense means breach of a law or rule, as opposed to, like in our today's society, causing someone to feel offended.
Mm-hmm.
Like, offense has, it's the, anyway. Give an offense to your friend or neighbor, you are to acknowledge your wrong, and it is your duty freely to, it is their duty freely to forgive you. So, then you are to seek the forgiveness of God. So it's a stepwise thing. Then you're to seek the forgiveness of God, because the brother you have wounded is the property of God, and in injuring them, you sin against his creator and his redeemer. The case is brought before the only true mediator, our great high priest, who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, and who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities and is able to cleanse from every stain of iniquity.
However, you're OCD, you know. I must say, you have to finish something, get it? Yeah. You like Shadow Keeper.
I'm not OCD.
No. I agree with that in terms of like there's like steps and processes to when we've done wrong to someone, and I think it's for us as well to realize, like, you know, that obviously we have like this idea of ourselves and it, we're always right, we're always like this and that, but sometimes we need to humble ourselves and realize, you know what, sometimes I'm right, but I've gone about it the wrong way and it's offended you, so now I need to amend that, now I need to like rectify that. Mm. And I think there's a lot of like submissiveness and like the
humility,
and yeah, humility, and like pride just has to like kind of just leave you in it, kind of thing. Yeah. And I feel like that kind of goes with God as well, like in terms of we have too much pride to even confess sometimes.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because bro, I'm not wrong, what are you talking about? Stop being silly. Mm. You know what I mean? So yeah, I feel like we can be like that a lot of times.
No, sometimes I feel like as well, saying like what you're saying, but sometimes I feel like we do know what we're doing that is wrong, but like we just want to wait to like build it up.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like I've said it before the reconciliation one, as in like when I basically was in the car talking to God, like kind of shouting and all of that, but like for me, it was like it was a build up of stuff rather than like it was a
one thing.
It wasn't one thing. It was like a build up of like the things that I'd done in the past. So like I feel like people now just like, obviously like, and we said it last week as well, when people are what was it said, when people are basically trying to get it out of their system before they want to settle down and like kind of settle down and like be religious, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
I feel like when people just want to like do their righteous living, and then like after that just want to settle down, like just get that one confession out of the way, and then like do sin no more. that's not how it works. Like confession is obviously like repentance is. Confession is the same thing as well. Like you have to keep on doing it, keep confessing. Well, you should keep on confessing. You know what I mean, so yeah, it's one of those ones, really.
Should a confession be? Actually, this is a dumb question. I might as well just say what I'm gonna say. what I was gonna say is like, so I'm gonna read. In fact, it's very short because I don't need to say anything. Then, on the other hand. Or not on the other hand, as well as confessing, the confession, as you said, must be sincere and genuine, and mustn't be something that's like, so I'll just read the statement. Confession of sin, whether public or private, should be heartfelt and freely expressed. It is not to be urged from the sinner. It is not to be made in a flippant and careless way or forced from those who have no realizing sense of the abhorrent character of sin. The confession that is the outpouring of the inmost soul finds its way to the God of infinite pity. The psalmist says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." So it's like, we must never rush someone to you know, one of the things, especially in evangelism, is we think that bringing someone to Christ has a time window, or that oh, but surely by this time. No, what it's saying is until I realize, it's saying the abhorrence of sin, and the word abhorrence means, if I can try and define it, means like, to abhor something is like, this is how hateful this thing is, this is how bad this thing is.
Yeah.
So only when we realize how bad and hateful sin is that's the point at which we come and we go, Lord, I didn't even realize how bad this was, like, and I didn't even realize that I was doing wrong. Because you cannot come to God and confess something that you don't believe to be wrong.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So God is saying, when we come to him with a broken and a contrite heart, as the Psalm says, Psalm, I think it's 34 says.
Faithful's 18.
That's when confession comes.
Mm. I feel like a lot of the time as well, in terms of like evangelism, like bringing people to church is almost seen as the victory, whereas like, man has just been doing it all wrong, I think, anyway. Because bringing someone to a building, you know, yeah, it has, you know, the spiritual elements to it, but bringing them there too early can almost be their downfall.
Not too early. I would say
though. Listen to what I said. Okay, I said, don't bring someone to the church too early. You said don't not bring them to the church. That's what I'm not saying.
Too early. I don't think
we're saying.
I don't think. I said
what you said.
Yeah, I'm saying I don't think there's a too early.
I think there's a too early.
I think there's a for the wrong reason.
I think there's a too early.
You think? Why? Yeah. Why?
Because bringing someone to church is not a sign that
they've
come more to Christ, or they've so you can almost rush the aspect of it. I'm not saying that either. I'm saying there's a right time for everyone to come to church. Maybe they have to initiate it first, or they know that you go to church and they want to come along with you. It's not always going to be, you know, Come to church. That's all I'm trying to say. So like,
it might be too early for that person. They might decide, no, I don't want to come.
We can jump the gun.
Perfectly fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought
instead of having like Bible study at home or something, or like something like that, like introducing them to Christ and God. How can you say? It just don't make no sense. Like, how can you? It's skipping to two before you've even counted one. That's what I think, anyway.
I invite people to Christ for myself.
What I'd say is, I guess all I was trying to get at was, there's at any point, you can invite someone to come at any point. It's an invitation. An invitation, sometimes we mistake invitation and we make it a cudgel or force.
I don't think we're going to skip over that.
Now, that's what I think is different. I missed it completely.
Wait, what?
We can't skip over that.
What did man say?
Do you know I invite people to Christ through myself? Because obviously you have to be a true representative of Christ, isn't it?
Okay, I thought you said
he spun it.
I knew what he meant.
I meant that anyway, I meant through myself. Yeah.
Sure.
I invite people to Christ.
Exactly. He never said four. I think he said
exactly. True. Thank you. Alvin's listening. Alvin does the same thing as well.
But like, I think I can't even remember what I said. I definitely think that when we invite someone, it should only be that, an invitation, not force. Although the other thing is, you can do that at any point, but then, as you say, does the person want to? If they don't force.
Just because you go to church or whatever, again, there's loads of other ways. Like, and I think us as people, we were so stuck inside the church. And to be fair, we are still kind of stuck inside of this Zoom thing. That like Zoom, we just. Bro. I don't like Zoom.
Zoom's revolutionary, Cameron. Revolutionary.
I agree with you that, like,
I see my church is Zoom today, but it was shocking, bro.
Don't at your church.
Don't disrespect my church.
Huh? Couldn't give a toss, really.
Wow.
Guys, let's watch our language.
That was good.
We've got an international audience.
I was gonna say,
Of people. All sorts of
people. I still love Jesus.
I agree if you can.
Shout out to the followers.
It's not everyday Zoom services, bro. Like, and just sit down and watch the same thing.
Yeah. So but
sometimes VeggieTales in it.
Hey, VeggieTales was lit, you know?
No.
VeggieTales was lit, bro. VeggieTales, VeggieTales.
Sometimes Storykeeper.
And maybe it's because I'm too old. I never watched it when I was young.
Broccoli, celery, gotta be.
Can you tell me what happened? Give me an episode of VeggieTales.
Okay.
Oh, Noah. Rimmerweed.
Which one's that?
Larry Boy in the Rimmerweed, bro.
People are listening like, what on earth are you on about, bro?
Rumor weed.
The rumor weed.
Rumor. The rumor mill.
Larry Boy and rumor weed. So this is plant,
yeah.
That's actually his name, bro. Yeah. Larry
and
Boy
grows,
from.
Yeah. When people lie. So bare people in the city are lying, and the plant keeps on growing and growing. It takes over the city and whatnot.
Yeah.
And Larry Boy's trying to stop it and whatnot. And Larry only ends here when flipping artist ties in. When the little kid confesses, he's confessed to everyone that he's lied. And then Jermaine
comes in, bro.
VeggieTales.
Oh, that's bad.
That makes so much sense. But yeah, man, I think
Alvin was saying that VeggieTales ain't good, you know.
I watched it at the wrong age. Obviously, it's not. I didn't grow up watching VeggieTales, so to me, it's like nothing.
I got it from that thingy, the ABC book thing.
The thing I agree with is, like, we make bringing someone to church the aim, whereas that it should be, bring them to church, but the aim should be, let's bring them to church to learn about who Christ
is.
And the journey does not or should not finish when they are at church.
And like or at baptism.
Or at any point. The journey should not stop.
Yeah.
Like, and I think the easiest way for us, for it to be a solved problem, is to see people as, I want you, as friends. You never neglect a friend. Imagine your friend gets baptized. You don't stop being their friend now that they're baptized. A friendship is something that continues on after and through thick and thin and whatever. So don't know that necessarily we view evangelism in a, look, let's I'm going to treat you as a friend.
So I disagree with evangelism and stuff like, let me show I don't disagree.
Jermaine's trying to start something.
The wrong way to go about it. I think instead of trying to evangelize, just try to help people. You know what I mean? So we've got the.
But what if God tells us to evangelize?
No, but we start.
There's a room for that in it, but it's not the whole thing.
Of course, it's not.
Banks. If you're doing child minding. If you need to look after someone's kids who might not go to church, you need to start off with those basic things, fulfill people's basic needs. Once they see that you're actually a human being and you can help them, they'll be a bit more interested in you and what you're about.
Okay, so next section, next point. I'm trying to find it. Yeah, did you understand what I showed you about the Samuel thing?
I did, yeah.
Can you explain that?
Who was Israel's first? Okay, read it. So that, are we doing it for the listeners or because they don't? Because I've read it, but they haven't read it.
Okay, I'm just gonna tell them. Look at SC 38.1, and it's talking about Samuel and the Israelites.
Just the start. Okay, the first sentence or whatever.
In the days of Samuel, the Israelites wandered from God. They suffered the consequences of sin, for they had lost their faith in God. And lost their discernment of His power and the wisdom to rule the nation.
What was your question on?
I was just seeing like the story of Samuel. Yeah,
right. Who's the first king of Israel?
Was it Saul?
Yeah. Did Israel?
I said that
too
quiet. It was Saul.
It was Saul. Did Israel have a king before Saul?
No, they didn't.
Who was the king before Saul?
Justin.
No one was a king before us.
So there's a bit where in capitals it says something, the ruler of the universe.
Oh God,
yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So they, and it says something about them, they cease to trust God, or their faith, they lose their faith in God. What does it say? I don't want to misquote it.
So they turned from their great ruler of the universe and desired to be governed as other nations were governed around them, basically.
And that was their sin. And that's the sin that they had to confess. Because what does she
tithes and that comes into it?
Tithes was before that. So, Abraham paid tithe. He paid tithe to a king priest called Melchizedek.
But Abraham wasn't really.
Well, before Israel.
Wasn't really an Israelite, though. Well, he was on his way.
Well, he was a Hebrew.
Yeah. Abraham.
Well, let me not say Hebrew.
Can we stay at this one?
Yeah, we'll
stay
at that one.
Man, I just said, yeah,
Abraham was a descendant of.
A man still goes on, though.
I'm in no respect, you know. I rock it, no respect.
So it is, Alvin can't finish it because it's in his mind. He has to get it out.
Okay, no. Shut that. Okay, I'll shut it off.
Close the tab, Alvin.
So basically saying that God was their ruler.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, they wanted to be governed as other nations or governed. So he's saying, the fact that they wanted to be governed as other nations were governed, yeah, that was their sin, and so they had to confess.
And what is their confession?
So we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. And then that's 1 Samuel 12:19.
That would be their sin, right? The fact that they turned away from God.
So, ain't that interesting? Oh, several things are interesting. So, number one, they had to confess that they had done that sin. That's the point that Ellen White is making.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of the things is, like, if we sin, part of being reconciled to God is confessing our sin and trusting and believing that He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of our unrighteousness. The other thing is, the other interesting thing, but this is, I guess, a tangential point, is that Israel did something that we often do,
which is
wanted to be like everyone else.
Mm.
Like, they were governed by the old, like, by someone who no other person you'd want to be governed by. And they said, Lord, we want a king like everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, now this is the love and the mercy of God. God said, okay, have your king.
Mm-hmm.
And God let them have a king with certain criteria and stipulations. And afterwards, you see all the madness that happens with the kings, culminating in the worst king being Manasseh.
Mm.
But had God remained their king, the ruler, notice who it says, the ruler of
the universe.
Would they have had to confess? No.
They wouldn't have sinned.
they wouldn't have sinned, so yeah.
Exactly.
That's mental stuff.
So, and then it goes on to also say, this is not relating to that, but confession will not be accepted to God without sincere repentance and reformation.
I was going to say that next, though.
Go on, yeah.
Go on, finish it over
there. There must be a decided changing in the life. Everything offensive to God must be put away.
Nah, definitely, because, like, obviously, as we were saying before, also, isn't, like, not having a sincere heart. It's like literally just like saying, like, if you're not really sincere about something, then there's no point in doing it. Like, you have to do stuff with purpose, and even in life, you'd only do stuff with purpose anyway. So it's like, the fact that like, you can come to someone and be like not sincere about the point, it's just like, it's like going to someone and like just saying sorry for something, I'm sorry sake.
Yeah,
like, do you know when it you was back in, back in the kid, you hit someone, it's like, say sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah, say literally. Yes, literally. The bad thing is, I feel like, oh, this is gonna be a bad segue, but like, I feel like teachers go wrong when they do that. Like, as in, they're like, oh, say sorry. Like, if you don't mean it, then don't say it. Literally, I would never make someone say it if they don't mean it, because then it's like you're just teaching someone that you can just say sorry and get away with anything, if that makes sense.
Mm.
But yeah, so obviously, like, going on to confession now, though, if you don't, if you literally say, from my example now, if I was to like wrong many people, and then like literally just go up to them just for like the kind of innocence of myself, or to make myself feel better without literally like feeling sincere about it, then I'm more likely to go back to that same sin and do that sin again, if that makes sense. Mm. So yeah,
100.
That's what I have to say about it.
Oh, there's on that. There's something about I've lost it. Don't lose it. Oh, I feel like I'm becoming.
No, I want
never to... cancel that. Take that out. Genuinely, don't put that in.
Don't get scared, bro.
No. It's like, no, don't put that in. Don't put that in.
What did Alvin say?
He has moments. He has moments where he forgets things, and wow. But like, not even like he's. He's worse Alvin. Than me.
Close the tab. Close the tab. Mm-hmm. Close the tab.
Is that the Abraham team?
No.
What was I gonna say?
You're definitely lost. Man, so cute. Man talks about. Man said Abraham.
Beep 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 beep.
Oh gosh.
The Lord. Oh yeah. Well, I'm not even gonna say that. It's rehashing a point that I already made. There was something else.
I want to talk about Paul. You know.
Talk about what?
Paul.
Oh, I
said
porn.
So did I.
It's called yawn at the same time.
Oh, that's random. I was like, that can't be what you said.
What is that? I want to confess.
Tell him, Karen. Tell him the dirty tab she's been on.
Close those tabs.
Just me. No, like that. Clear history.
Incognito.
You are a deviant. You are.
Trust me. You don't need to hide it. You don't need to clear it if you got incognito, bro. Yeah. True, man. Jermaine knows.
I was going to say something. Never mind.
Jermaine knows.
There's one thing that I had.
I was going to talk about Paul in terms of, because we obviously often forget that he was once Saul, and obviously all the sins that he did before that, and obviously he's held up in the New Testament as the person that gives a great counsel, wrote, is instrumental in so many books in the later part of the Old Testament, and kind of wants to paraphrase this. So okay, many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. When they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blasphemy, and exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even in strange cities. So that is Paul talking, and this is the same guy that's saying, you know, don't have sex before marriage, you know, like saying all these like mad things, but he's the person that was
mad things.
David knows mad things,
but he's the person that, you know, was crucifying Christians, was killing people regular, and like, yeah, like he's basically here, like he's confessing his sins, like he's basically said, like, yo, I was there, I was saying, you know,
been there, done that,
been, yeah, basically he's been there, done that.
There's a quote that's coming to my mind, which I wish I could remember where it came from. It's either from the book Patriarchs and Prophets or Prophets and Kings, and it's talking about a failure that David makes with Solomon. The failure that he makes is, no, with Absalom. Okay, that narrows the search.
Just about to go to David as well.
Where, yeah.
But not that story.
So with Absalom, David failed to say what he ought to have said. I think it was to Absalom, because he'd done the same sin and had obviously confessed of it. But mm-hmm. he'd done the same sin, but he didn't feel as though he could say, don't do that, because he'd done the same.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something sort of almost related to what you're saying, I think almost related, with like Saul being this person who had done all of this wicked. And yet, someone can ask the question, how can we read Saul's writings, who did all of this? This was the person who Saul was. Mm-hmm. And yet, that's the interesting point. That's what the person was. And also, there's nothing, and the interesting thing is they are informing you of who they were. And oftentimes, I've heard people say, I ain't listened to so-and-so. They did X, Y, and Z. Why should I listen to so-and-so? Mm. I've heard people say, I watched a politician say, my brother was an example to me not to drink or to do alcohol or anything like this. Their brother was an alcoholic, was a smoker, and he said, never do this. And he didn't. Because part of it was, he was almost the negative example. He saw in his brother what happens when all of these things were being done. And this politician, when I watched them say that, I was like, that is wisdom. And I'm being very coy about it. Some people will find it obvious who this politician is. I don't want to say, because I don't want to be political.
But basically, yeah, no, I agree. I agree with that. Did you want to say something?
No, you know what? You kind of wrapped it up nicely. Like, the only point I was going to make was about David and Bathsheba.
Mm.
And how he confessed, and when he did actually confess, he had to have a prophet come to him, because he couldn't really see the errors of his ways. But when he actually properly did confess, he was happy in that. Everything mm-hmm. was a lot better. He was actually happy that he was being punished. So that was going to wrap it up into, like, by confessing.
Being punished or being found out?
Being found out.
Okay.
So by actually confessing, yeah, there's joy when you do it the right way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was going to also, like, say as well, in terms of, because he goes on saying in 1 Timothy 1:15, he says, Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, who I am chief. So, like, he's basically saying, like, yo, I'm here with you, man. I'm not like a saint, you know what I'm saying? Like, Christ came for me. If he can come for me, he can definitely come and save you, because I feel like there's been examples of it as well. Like, even when you made me watch that video in terms of that police officer that got shot by that guy, and then they forgave each other. Well, yeah, they did. They both had like stuff. Officer forgave
the criminal.
And yeah, there's just something in that of like, most people wouldn't be able to do that, but Christ is able to forgive all our sins, and we're able to come to him with anything. Even sins that, you know, I don't personally agree with and stuff.
How do you mean? I'm interested in that statement, because it might,
I don't know, like sins, obviously some people might be like, pedophiles aren't going to heaven on it, but that's not for me to say, you know what I'm saying?
So
levels of sin in it, like, it goes on to that whole like level of sin conversation. Like, Christ can forgive any sin, you know what I mean? It's not, there's not, yeah, there's not stipulations to it. Yeah,
I wonder what the next chapter is after this, because
consecration,
right?
I think it might be consecration in there, but yeah,
what is the point of confession?
What's the point of it?
Don't know. I think confession's for us, you know.
Okay.
Definitely.
I don't think God really needs us to confess. It's more like a gift to us. It's a way to be, I'd say, pure again, in a sense. So, like, have no sin. When you confess to God, you're more time going to apologize as well. I think that's what confession is. You apologize as well. So you ask for forgiveness for your sin, so it gives you a clean slate. So I think confession is more a way for us to become pure.
If we confess, what is, so,
was you going to say 1 John 1:9?
Go on. No, I wasn't, but
I think you said it before.
What I was going to say is, I guess what I'm driving at is, I think part of what the purpose of confession is it's the step that gets us to it's confession and repentance. There's a marriage there somehow. So like,
yeah, no, definitely.
And they feed into each other. And I'm trying to sort it in my head. I haven't really finished.
Because how can you if you haven't acknowledged something, how can you turn away from it? So like if there's a fire in the room, like ignoring it, you're gonna die.
Mm-hmm.
But if you like, yeah, you have to recognize it.
Okay.
To recognize it, so like confession is almost that acknowledgement of it. So you've acknowledged that the fire is there, but then repentance is that turning, is the action. So you actually doing something about it, and even so, like we like to say, okay, yeah, God, wakes us up, yeah, he does, but you know, we still have choice. You know, we still have choice whether to have Weetabix or like
or like
Cheerios or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, we still have a lot of choice in the matter, innit? So, yeah. I think it's very... The choice is in our hands, innit? Like, what we do turn away from. Because, yeah, God helps us to repent, but there's also... He's helping us with our will as well. And when we, like, submit our will to what he wants or what's written in the Bible rather than what we think about stuff, then... Yeah, but it's very easy to say, but yeah, like it's different in practice, bro.
Because it's not different, it's harder.
It's harder, sorry. Yeah, no, that's not the
exact same.
Yeah, that's what I mean, innit? Like, yeah. It's different and hard.
Like, yeah, I can't, don't you want to add anything to that?
Yeah. I don't know what to ask. I don't know how to, like,
I had one passage that I wanted to read.
Read it, Alvin.
And what did I? Oh, it keeps jumping back to that one. Okay. And it goes like this. When sin has deadened the moral perceptions, the wrongdoer does not discern... Let me read that again and put my glasses on. When sin has deadened the moral... It's not the glasses, the brain. Okay, let's go again. When sin has deadened the moral perceptions, the wrongdoer does not discern the defects of his character, nor realize the enormity of the evil he has committed. And unless he yields to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, there the Holy Spirit comes again, he remains in partial blindness to his sin. His confessions are not sincere and in earnest. To every acknowledgement of his guilt, he adds an apology in excuse of his course, declaring that if it had not been for certain circumstances, he would not have done this or that for which he is reproved.
That's mad, you know. You think you ever make excuses for sin and that? Why have you sinned?
100%.
Definitely. I've definitely
making an excuse for sinning.
Yeah.
Many times, man. Compromise. Compromise is key, really.
I was wrong.
Go on.
I
didn't
have a choice.
Story time, yeah?
What?
Stealing?
What?
Man, stealing, yeah?
Compromise is key.
Yeah. Just to, like, people aware. Trust me.
Nah, I'm just saying.
Just to trap you, know?
It's true. Like, you know, we compromise.
I said it was hungry, so that's stealing, yeah? Nah, I don't know. Compromise is key, yeah? Because, like, sometimes you have to, like, you know, get yours. Like, even when Jermaine said about stealing, yeah, that's the most easiest one.
What are you saying, Justin?
That's the most easiest one, yeah, but like, you know what it is? Sometimes you just have to realize in your head, it's like, raw. Like, as Jermaine said, I am hungry. I need food right now. So, like, I'm going to get what's mine. I ain't got no money on me. So, I'm going to get some food. So, pop into Tesco. Security guard's not looking. Why not?
Is that what you're saying?
It's called a five finger discount. That's what the kids are calling it.
Oh, is it?
That's what the kids are calling it.
But is that so? The excuse for sin there
would be I'm hungry.
I'm hungry.
Yeah.
You should have fed me, then, God.
God, this is your fault. I didn't want to do this.
You made me.
I tried.
God, yeah, that's
nobody. Where's the provision?
Genuine question.
Yeah, go on.
I know that you're joking, but I'm gonna ask you seriously.
No, this is sometimes the conversations I have with God. You get me?
Like, oh, really? Okay.
You said you're gonna do something. You haven't come through yet.
No, I've had those conversations. Have you ever had a conversation with God? Like, say, let's take the food example.
Okay.
Have you
ever? Example was a joke.
Exactly. That's what I was saying. Was a joke. But let's take the food example, the stealing example.
Yeah.
Let's take it as an example. Have you ever, say, gone in? I know that it's an example, but let's say, or in principle, would you ever go into? Have you ever gone into a shop?
Yeah.
And said, "Lord, I'm gonna steal, and it's your fault."
Nah, but I've gone into a
in
shop
principle.
To steal,
no, in so with any other with something else.
So, in principle,
have you ever gone, "Lord, I'm gonna do this, but it's your fault"?
Oh yeah.
Have you? Okay.
Yeah.
So talk me through
think.
That.
I know I've done it. Like, I'm trying to think of the last time I've done. Okay, maybe working on Saturday. So I'd be like, "God, you didn't come through with a job that doesn't that allows me not to work on Saturday, right. And I've got bills to pay." So
right,
money have to make.
Hands up in the air, God.
So
it's your fault, isn't it?
What's his fault?
What?
Should have given me the job on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
It's his fault. So what is God's fault? Is God's fault?
Should
wow.
Have bossed me?
Is his fault that is he to blame for your decision? That's
no,
my question.
No, of course not. But that's how I.
That's how you look at it. It's a compromise. That's what I mean. Compromise is key. Compromise is key.
Right. Okay.
Because it's your choice to work on those days. Well, it's my choice to work on those days. You know, God didn't force me to work on those days.
So
God,
what
God
is
said
he at
not,
fault
God said
for?
Not to.
Huh?
What is he at fault for?
Do you know what it is?
You know what? Wait, if I don't,
yeah, go on.
If you don't work on those days, then
yeah.
You're not gonna. You might lose a job, or you might not get the money from that job.
Yeah, yeah.
And the key of why you work is to get money.
Yeah.
So God, if you ain't bossing me on money,
yeah,
then I'm gonna have to do certain things.
Okay, that's so. Is it then? Simple question. Is it then right to say it's God's fault?
No,
you
that's what
I said. I can't speak for everyone else, but for me, yeah, I've hardened my heart in certain situations. So, like, at this point, bruh, it's mad to say this. I don't even care, bruh.
Go on,
like,
be honest.
If I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it through Father, yeah. There might be a couple of things I'll waver on.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to do something, I'll do it now.
Be proud of doing it.
Not even be proud, but like, like, yo.
I'm say it with your chest, Javin.
Hey, what's he doing, man? What's he trying to...
This is interesting. Man.
Say it with your
I
chest,
pause,
Javin. It's mad, you know, because if I did certain things like that before, I would have felt a bit bad. The feeling of bad's gone, bro.
Don't let that happen, man.
It's gone, bro. This is
let
like,
that happen.
It be what it be.
Listen, if I'm...
Justin.
Pray to God that those feelings come back.
I don't want them back.
I'm telling you,
you know what it is?
Seriously, ask God to bring those.
No, on a real.
On a real, realest level I can be, ask God to bring those. It's so real that I might even take this out.
That's it, so real.
Genuinely. Because that, like, ask God to bring those feelings back.
You know
back.
What? At the same time, I'd never tell someone to go do that.
No, that's fine. That's
like,
all well.
That's wrong.
The feelings
do you know
will
what
come
it is?
Back.
Let me tell you.
The feelings will come back though.
Oh yeah. When I say again, when I say pray to God that He brings back that feeling.
Well, you know what the thing is? I don't want that feeling back.
Why not?
Because I want to carry on, bro.
Do you? Okay.
You know what I mean?
That's your choice and your decision.
Flip the mic.
This.
Yeah. So basically, that has to.
He needs to tie it in. Justin, can you help him? I'm a legend in the game, Machiavelli.
what's that guy's name? Dutchavelli.
Dutchavelli, yeah.
Hard star.
It's hard, it's hard, bro.
Yeah,
rap wise.
Yeah. But
there's some things that I don't understand. But I need to get into the language. I need to get into the language.
But yeah, like I hear in terms
of what he's saying of the raps. Yeah.
I hear in terms of like the money, because, bro. Same, like I've been offered.
We've struggled.
I've obviously like, you know, much like thousands. Man's probably lost out over the years in just working on Saturday. There's just P to be made. It's almost like Saturday's the day to make money, bro.
It is the day to make money. I don't understand. Whose world do we live in? It's the devil's world, bro.
Why do you think Saturday's always
moving busy? Right now, Manchester City are playing.
What exactly?
I know because a notification came on my phone.
A few minutes ago. It's not just Saturday, bro. It's the Friday sunset, bro.
Yeah. That's when it's sweet, you know. That's when it's sweet, bruv. The way I've got around it is I have worked Saturday night. Night shift, isn't it? Yeah, Saturday night.
After sunset, yeah.
But I definitely get that. But I think you have to reevaluate, isn't it? Like, what money... But what money is, isn't it? And, like, how much value... is to you, innit? Because to me, obviously, money is very valuable. It will get you a lot of places. It will open a lot of doors. But like, at the end of the day, when you get money, I don't think it brings you true. It's again what we were saying last week, bruv. Like sin, like what sin does, it will, or like, not even saying money is sin, but like, but that act of like sinning, it will bring you joy. It'll bring you joy, and you'll bring you some high highs. It'll bring you some.
Enjoy it.
Oh. It'll bring you some high highs, isn't it? But it will low. It will bring you down.
You know what? The lows will be low, man.
Almost probably once a week or twice a week, I have the conversation with myself. Is this worth what's it called losing my soul over? The answer is always no, innit?
And it will never be yes.
It will never be yes, but then
sometimes you just have to learn the hard way, man.
What?
But I say this all the time, though. No.
He's right.
I just get stuck.
Listen, the easy way is to like when you know who I was watching. Hey, you don't know. I haven't told you this. This week, for some reason, I've got into like I've been fascinated by chefs and the world of.
I was watching Kitchen Nightmares.
It started with Kitchen Nightmares.
Bad boy, watch Food Wars. It's an anime. It's crazy.
Is it? The animation.
You watching bro? Hey,
I saw a person do a real life version of Food in there, and I was like, fam.
He's just been talking.
So I watched. That's how it started. I was watching Kitchen Nightmares, and then I ended up watching a 1998 documentary of Ramsay called, basically a 1998 documentary, and one in 2001. And then I ended up watching Gordon Ramsay's chase to get his third Michelin star. He got it in 2001. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? And he had, at the time, he had like two, his kids were young, like he had babies essentially. And you see that he spends almost all of his time in the kitchen. Mm. And then when he's not in the kitchen, he did this big tour of Australia at one point, of Australia and New Zealand. And he's writing these books and he's on these TV programs. His everything was geared towards those three Michelin stars, and he got them. And then after that, I watched a video of his mentor, the guy who he learned under, and he's one of the coolest and greatest chefs ever, and just a guy I find so deeply interesting. He's a guy called Marco Pierre White.
Oh yeah, I know who that is.
Bro.
He's got a restaurant in, bro.
He gave back his Michelin stars, three Michelin stars, gave them back. I watched a documentary of him, and then I also watched an address that he gave to the Oxford Union. He said, my whole life was about getting those three Michelin stars. Then I got the three Michelin stars. Then my life became maintaining those three Michelin stars. Because once you get them, it's not like you get them and you keep them. You then have to maintain having the Michelin stars. And then he goes, my whole life was being judged. And then he also talks about the money that you make. Also, he's a restaurateur. He has several restaurants. Mm. On his whole life was geared around that. And he goes, my life was geared around, I was being judged by people who are less qualified than me. His food, obviously, the inspectors are not necessarily chefs. Not necessarily. They're
critics. Yeah.
They're critics and they're most are inspectors.
Still making money, though.
And then he goes, I did not enjoy life. If you want to go into food because you have a passion for it.
Yeah.
Go into it because you want to cook great food to
watch Food Wars, man. It will change your mind.
If you get a start as a result, when you watch that,
be careful. Yeah,
can't watch that too loud. You know,
it's a bit.
To have more time with his kids.
Yeah.
When he's younger. He goes to have time to actually live.
I guess he was traveling a lot though, so.
No, I think, you know what it is with that chase of money, it's like, because I've gone through it in terms of when I was in uni and that, and like first year was just shocking. And the reason why first year was shocking in terms of grades, because I was working. So I found that as soon as I put my focus into uni, like, got this grade, got that grade. Like, and they were good grades, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, wow, is this me? You know what I'm saying? Like, when you put your focus into long-term goals rather than short-term, like, it works out. So, like, for me now, I try not to work during when I'm studying or when I've got a, like, because I know that Javain's got, like, overarching goals to do great stuff, but you're, like, it's almost like you work these temporary jobs and these temporary things to keep yourself afloat, to make sure, you know, you live in a certain way. But like, it's kind of just like,
and God,
the working those jobs will distract you ultimately from the ultimate goal where you need to be studying and you need to be, and that kind of goes for church stuff as well, isn't it? Because even me, I wouldn't have been able to do, not even church stuff, I wouldn't be able to like do the podcast if I was working like around the clock, if that makes sense, innit?
Mm.
Or if I wouldn't be as involved in AY if I was working them. I genuinely used to think about, you know, my hours at work and how that would correlate to church, and see if I could, like, I would try my best to work jobs that were like 9-to-5-ish jobs, so that, you know, afterwards I'd have that time to be involved in this and that. And because I've always seen that as important, and giving my time to that, because ultimately when the job falls away, when you know, even when grades don't mean nothing, you know what I mean, like, what have you got, who are you, what have you invested into?
That's true.
The other thing is, don't think that because God ain't answering your prayer, or God doesn't seem to be answering your prayers now, He doesn't have big things in mind for you.
Wait, is this going? Is this going in?
Not necessarily. I don't mind, but it's up to you.
It might need to be. It will get. Obviously, yeah, that's the beat of the podcast, isn't it? That's the beat of the podcast, isn't it, man? Just
let's round up on confession, though.
Yeah.
I'll make it as short as I can.
Oh.
Read the story of Joseph. And ask yourself at every point, if Joseph was praying, Lord, what's going on here? Just read the story of Joseph and see what he, like, put yourself in his shoes. But don't think
about
the
story. Are you sure you want him to do that, though?
No. Don't think about the story of Joseph. Read it and think about it. So actually read the story of Joseph, because there are details, like, there are details that when we say stories, we don't pick up on. But when you read it, remember, the guy ends up in, like, think of how young he was. Ends up.
Okay, we don't need to go into the story.
I'm not going into the story. And then he ends up in prison, but then he ends up being, the prime minister. And that's all that God's doing.
See, I'm saying that Jermaine would, I reckon, if Jermaine was just thinking about Joseph, he would end up sleeping up with part of his wife.
Yeah. Like, anyway,
he wouldn't.
Anyway, you know what?
I disagree personally.
Thank you.
Let's round up.
I'll say one thick girl came off, yeah. She's got batty breast, everything, yeah. You might say you rejected that.
You know, the amount of times I've turned down sex.
Okay, cool.
Let's keep that insta.
Alright, yo. Okay, so confession.
Round up.
That saying, confession is good for the soul, innit? It really is. It's like, obviously, even now, like, even in, like, the world, like, we see that, like, when you speak stuff out instead of keeping stuff in, it's beneficial to you just in that. So for me, for my, like, final words, it would be like, bear your soul to God, because that's the only person you really can bear your soul to, ultimately. And who knows your soul, who knows your inside?
Well, like, he's the person who can do the most,
and yeah, and he's the person that has the most power. So that would be my thing. Yeah,
go on, Alvin.
I second what Cameron said. That's it.
Go on, Javin. Go on, Jobs.
Okay, Cameron wrapped it up nicely.
That's lovely.
I must say, my Cameron wrapped it up nicely.
Yo, this has been the After Sundown podcast with Alvin, Javane, Justin.
Javane last is a guest.
Okay, this has been the After Sundown podcast with myself, Cameron, Jeez. Alvin, Justin, and sexy Joe. You know, I confess that Javane.
As a kid, I don't like
that. Strong with
Matt.
That's how we're
going to
end.
That's how we're
going to end.
That's
how we're going to end. Jimin.